Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the church family of St. Linus. We extend a warm welcome to you and to our visitors as we worship together on the second Sunday of Easter. The announcements for the week. This Friday is First Friday. There will be day-long adoration following the 8:30 a.m. Mass and ending with the Holy Hour at 7 p.m. Come and spend some time with the Lord. The 2011-2012 planning calendars are ready. Please have a representative from each group pick one up in the parish office. The Divine Mercy Mass will be today at 3 p.m. in the church. Join the Knights next Sunday, May 8th, for their annual Mother's Day brunch from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. For more information, see the insert inside this week's bulletin and page 4 of the bulletin. See page 3 in the bulletin for the meetings this week, and please stand and join in prayer and song.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
May the grace and peace of the risen Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Our opening song is one of those songs that give us a great anticipation of the gospel to come. This is a time in which we hear of the resurrection appearances of Jesus, and always on the first Sunday after Easter, we encounter Thomas. Thomas, who, in one of the greatest revelations of the divinity of Christ in the scriptures, says to Jesus, "My Lord and my
God."
Right there. It is, and then Jesus went on to say, "Blessed are those who have not seen, but believe." Let us ask God's grace now to be counted among that number. Now, so we too from the depths of our hearts can say, "My Lord and my God." And as we encounter the Lord himself now, let us ask his help to see ourselves truly, to see our sins, not that we might be condemned, but that we might be set free, that we might know on this great memory of his mercy, the great mercy Jesus has shown us. Lord Jesus, you are the Lamb that was slain, yet you are alive. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you fulfilled all that was written about you. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Now, Lord, you reign at the right hand of the Father and will come to judge the living and the dead. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father and God of mercy, we no longer look for Jesus among the dead, for he is alive and has become the Lord of life. From the waters of death, you raised us with him and renew your gift of life within us. Increase in our minds and hearts the risen life we share with Christ, and help us to grow as your people towards the fullness of eternal life with you. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. They devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to the communal life, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their property and possessions and divide them among all according to each one's needs. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple area and to breaking bread in their homes. They ate their meals with exultation and sincerity of heart, praising God and enjoying favor with all the people. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Let the house of Israel say, his mercy endures forever. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. The Lord's right hand has struck with power. The Lord's right hand is exalted. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. The stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done. It is wonderful in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
A reading from the first letter of St. Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, in his great mercy, gave us a new birth to a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who, by the power of God, are safeguarded through him, to a salvation that is ready to be revealed at the final time. In this you rejoice, although now, for a little while, you may have to suffer through various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that is perishable, even though tested by fire, may prove to be for praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Although you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, yet believe in him, you rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy as you attain the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Do you remember the gospel readings that we had in video form on the man born blind and the raising of Lazarus? Well, we're going to continue that. This is, again, from that series that tells us again this gospel. And again, the reason we do this is because it can help us hear what Jesus is saying. It can help put us there and understand what it must have been like for them so we can better understand what it is now for us.
It was late that Sunday evening, and the disciples were gathered together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish authorities. Then Jesus came, stood among them.
"Peace be with you."
After saying this, he showed them his hands and his side. Disciples were filled with joy at seeing the Lord. Jesus said to them again,
"Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you."
Then he breathed on them
. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive people's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.
One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord."
"Unless I see the scars of the nails in his hand, and put my finger on those scars, and my hand in his side, I will not believe."
A week later, the disciples were together again indoors, and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but Jesus came and stood among them.
"Peace be with you. Put your finger here and look at my hands. Then reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop your doubting and believe."
"My Lord and my God."
"Do you believe because you see me? How happy are those who believe without seeing me?
In his disciples' presence, Jesus performed many other miracles which are not written down in this book. But these have been written in order that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through your faith in him, you may have life. Up.
In all of the masses for the week or two after Easter, weekday masses, including this Sunday, all of the gospel readings are about what, do you think? The appearances of Jesus. There were many of them. This is just one of them. And many of them, which we read through the masses this week, I noticed that it was very common for people not to recognize Jesus when he first appeared. Jesus went through a wall to get to the disciples. These times, I think that might have been a clue. But Mary and Mary Magdalene in the garden, the disciples sometimes on the beach, they didn't recognize them, and Jesus asked them questions. Go home, look at the end of the Gospels, and each of the Gospels read over some of these encounters of the risen Lord Jesus, because they tell us something of our encounters with him too. Jesus often asked them questions. There's a certain pattern. "Why are you crying? Why are you sad?" he said one time to Mary Magdalene. "Why are you afraid?" he says at another time. Once again, he says, "What are you looking for? Or who are you looking for?" I've actually been thinking about these questions all week. They strike me as questions that apply to all of us all the time. Not unlike a spiritual director might ask us as a means to reflect on what's really going on in our lives. This ranks in the category of questions that I think seem too easy to answer. But in fact, if we truly encounter them, they're hard. What are you looking for? In doing some of the things you do and the way that you spend your time and the deepest desires of your heart, who are you looking for? Why are you sad, discouraged? Why are you afraid? It is precisely dealing with these questions that sometimes make us unable to recognize Jesus, and it's in dealing with them, especially in dealing with them in the presence of Jesus, that we can see him more clearly, which is really the thing that will give us our greatest joy. The disciples in the reading today were afraid. They were afraid of the Jews. They saw what had happened to Jesus. Didn't look good for them. And Jesus comes in and says, peace. There's a number of times in which Jesus talks about peace. Three times in this gospel he says, peace be with you. That is a Hebrew literary device for emphasis. It's really important. Holy, holy, holy. Peace. Peace be with you. Other times, Jesus says in the gospel, do not think that I have come to bring peace. I have not come to bring peace. I've come to bring a sword. Okay, Jesus, which one is it? Are you bringing peace or are you not bringing peace? Well, it means different things in different times. Peace is one of those words that I don't think moderns understand in the same way that Jews would have in Jesus' time. Sometimes we think peace is just absence of conflict. It's just not fighting. No. In fact, two people cannot be fighting, and it can be all quiet in the same room. And does that always mean there's peace in that room? Oh, you tell me. No. There's hostility. Jesus said, don't think I came to bring a false peace to this world or just remove all conflict. No, Jesus said, I'm coming to bring conflict, but a conflict for good, for what is holy, for what builds lasting peace. Peace in the scriptures, the peace that Jesus came to bring, is right relationship with God. For us, accessed through sincere repentance, confession of sins, experience of reconciliation, knowing we're on the right track, doing the right thing. And that is real peace. And in that peace, you can handle a lot of conflict. And in fact, we're going to have to as disciples of Christ. He's going to lead us right into that lion's mouth. Because his kingdom is coming and he wants us to be with him. Peace be with you. Right relationship with God. Not a peaceful, easy feeling, but God in our hearts. Reconciled. Conscience clear. That comes from seeing the risen Lord Jesus alive, not only in our world, but alive in us. We always hear about Thomas the second week. I grew up knowing him as Thomas the Doubter. Yes, I always think he lost on that exchange. How would you like to be known by your worst moment? I like to think of Thomas as the one who's often asking the tough questions. They taught me as a kid to doubt was a sin. Oh, does God exist? Oops, I just sinned. Is it wrong to ask questions? Is it wrong to want to understand things more deeply? Probably the person who raised the most intelligent objections to truth is Thomas Aquinas, who many consider to be its deepest defender in his Summa Theologica. He makes the best arguments that most people admit has ever been put together for why things aren't the way God says they are, why God doesn't exist, why Jesus isn't God, why the Bible isn't true. He asks them in order to remove their sting, to marshal the truth in a defense against its attacks. No. God wants us to understand. God wants us to believe deeply. I mean, and we need to ask questions with a spirit of trust, not rebellion, not wanting to rationalize what we're doing, not to make excuses, but to understand. Because the truth never has to be afraid of challenge, because it can take care of itself. It's us who need to know it more deeply. And Jesus gave Thomas all the help that he needed. Come, Thomas, and put your hand in my side. Who here's had wounds they don't want people poking around in? Ouch! Not there! But that's precisely where Jesus tells Thomas to poke. Look at all that I've done. Look, there isn't anything I won't do because I want you to believe. Not because you have to, because it's true. Because it's going to set you free. Tender-hearted, pursuing, patient. As Jesus was with Thomas, so he will be with us. And on this Divine Mercy Sunday, he wants us to know what's true so we might know his mercy. There is some who say that the church for a while has been afraid to talk about sin. It's been embarrassed. It's undervalued confession. God knows we've lost generations in use of the sacrament. Why? Why did we lose something there? I think for a while there was the feeling that if we talked about sin, it would make people feel bad. And God knows we had too much guilt. Acknowledgement of sin without a deeper understanding of mercy is only half the truth. But there is no understanding of mercy. You can't understand why Jesus bled out. If we don't understand it was for us because of the wrong that we had done, because of the price of sin, we don't understand mercy. Reconciliation, forgiveness, our infinite good fortune, if we don't know the pit we were in. Jesus comes to bring us peace, right relationship with God through deep repentance and abandonment. He wants us to believe because we get it. Because we dealt with the stuff in the way so that We know his mercy. So that even though we haven't seen him, we believe. So that we live our way, life in such a way so that not only we say, my Lord and my God, but other people can look at us and say, I want to know their Lord and God.